can write us at PO Box 588.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. As we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. It's time for us to grow up and come together. It's time for us to grow up and come together. You can read beginning at the actual first verse of this chapter, but at verse 8 through verse 16, 16 is where it in this part of the text that we're talking about. Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, explaining how Jesus, when he got up out of the grave, he ascended on high. But when he ascended on high, he gave men gifts. That's in verse 8, the fourth chapter, the 8th verse here. And then he says that, but before he went up, ascended up into heaven, he went down in the earth, or to hell. And that's where he stayed there before he was resurrected. And that's where he released the saints that were waiting for his coming. And then, of course, Matthew records in that 27th chapter that when he got up that morning, all of the saints there got up with him and marched down the streets of Jerusalem. But before he went back to heaven, he gave men gifts. Somebody say gifts. Gifts. One of the things that's so important about understanding the gift that God has given you, the gift was never intended for the recipient. The gift was intended for the recipient to be a reservoir for the body of Christ. In other words, if God gave you a gift of singing, that gift wasn't for you. It was to praise, to perfect his praise, and to edify the saints. If God gave you a gift of encouragement, he didn't give that gift for you to encourage yourself only. But he gave you that gift to encourage others in the body of Christ. If he gave you a gift of healing, he didn't give you that gift for you to heal yourself only, but to heal those in the body of Christ. And we're going to find that out in these scriptures when we walk through them and understand that the gifts were given so that they could be applied to others in the body of Christ. That's why no one of us who've been gifted by God has the right to act like this gift belongs to me, and I have a choice in whether or not I give you. You know, that bothers me when you got to beg folk to sing for Jesus. when you got to beg folk to live for Jesus, beg folk when God has blessed them to give to Jesus, you know, you miss the point. Everything he's given us is not just for us, but it is to share and to show his goodness and that to others who might need an example in the earth realm. And so many of us are selfish with our gifts, selfish, you know, with our blessings, selfish unto ourselves, and don't want to help anybody else. We grow a little bit, and we don't want to pull nobody else up with us. God gives us a little revelation. We want to throw our heads up in the sky and act like we ain't never been humble to the point where we didn't know and needed to know and wanted to know and couldn't find out until God sent someone to reveal that truth to us. And now he's given us that, and we won't share it with nobody else. So there are many things here Paul is talking about, you know, in the coming together, in the maturity of the believers. We've got to grow up and realize this world is not our home, and we're only here for a limited time only. And what we need to be doing is helping and strengthening and saving as many folk as we possibly can while we're here on this journey. Now, let's look at what the word says, verse 11. And he gave, what's that next word? Some. Do you know what some means? Some, that's right. Some means not all. Not all. He didn't give all apostles. So everybody don't expect to have the gift of apostleship. He didn't call all of us to be apostles. And he gave some prophets. All of us are not prophets. We don't have the gift of prophecy. Now, I got a lot of folk around here prophesying instead of prophesying. But I'm going to get into a little bit of that in a little bit later. But you got to understand, he didn't call all of us to be prophets. Then he called some evangelists. Now, again, he didn't call every one of us to be evangelists. And fourthly, he called some to be pastors first, and then teachers. Now, one of the easiest ways for you to remember these fivefold gifts to the church is to raise your left hand up. Raise your left hand. Now, I'm going to work with the left hand because I'm left-handed. It's easier for me to do that. But the apostle represents the thumb. The thumb is the only part of the hand that can touch all of the fingers easily, and all of the fingers can touch the thumb. All right? Now, there's a reason for that. The apostle is one who is sent from God with a message and a mission, and is given, listen at this, the authority of the sender. The apostle is sent by God. Jesus, one of his names, is apostle. He's the apostle. He was sent from God on a mission and with a message. All right? And this ministry that Jesus was given as an apostle was able to do wonderful things, and we're going to go through some of these things. So when you realize that you might try to have the name of an apostle, but if you don't have the power of an apostle, you're not an apostle. There are so many things that an apostle is called to do. So first of all, when the apostle is sent from God on a mission with a message, the message is always, again, for the repenting, coming back right with God, getting straight with God. And the apostle has the ability with his authority that the one who sent him has given to him, invested in him, so that he could do everything that the one who sent him did. Okay? So that means this. If you're an apostle and you can't heal the sick, let's turn to Matthew 4:17. Won't you turn that real quickly? All right. I want you to see again the apostle in action. And I just want us to see for ourselves in the word, because it's in your Bible. All right. Matthew 4:17. When you have it, say amen. All right, read it. All right. First thing you need to know, now the apostle is preaching. He has a message. Repent. Repent. Get yourselves together. All right. But now, I want to move on. Let's move to the 23rd verse. Read the 23rd verse. When you get there, say amen. Now begin reading now. Now see, that's what the apostle has got to have the ability to do. See, one of the things that you don't have to judge folk. You just need to inspect the fruit. If I'm an apostle, then I need to be able to do. The apostles, listen, the original 12 apostles were men who walked with Jesus. One turned and walked no more with him, Judas, who hung himself. So that was an opening. A man by the name of Matthias was then elected by the customary way, which was a choosing of lots. It was two men. He was the one that pulled the lot that gave him the right to be that 12th apostle. But Paul was one born out of due season. He was an apostle, but because he met Jesus face to face on the Damascus Road, he became that apostle who was able to do everything that Jesus did. So, my brothers and sisters, when you talk about you're an apostle, you either walked with Jesus or had a face-to-face encounter that he anointed you to do the things that he did in this earth realm as an apostle. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because this is what we need to understand God gave as gifts to the church. Now, it's not everybody having this gift in the church, but it's these people being made available to the church to be able to minister to the church. And then, look again, and some prophets, prophets. Prophet is the pointer finger on that hand. That's next to the apostle. The pointer finger points, and the prophet does this, to the future. Though it is able to tell the past and even in the present, its primary job is to reveal what is going to happen in the future. He can preach and minister and do all of that, but he prophesizes in one's life the reality that is connected with your destiny. Yes. He has the ability to see in you certain spiritual gifts and can prophesy those gifts in your life, tell you what they are, because they're revealed to the prophet. Amen. And so many times people are struggling with their gifts and what should I be in this, that, and the other. And they think they're this and they think they're that, but they miss the course because that's what flesh wants them to be and not so much what the spirit wants them to be. But the need for the prophet is to be able to reveal those gifts so that you can work within the confines of what God's called you to do and to reach the destiny that God has planned for you. So we need prophets as God has given to the church. Thirdly, evangelists, some evangelists. Evangelists are those people not who necessarily preach from the pulpit, but for those who, like John the Baptist, preach in the hedges and the byways and in the wilderness and in outer places other than the church and the synagogue. Not that they can't speak in those places as well, but their preaching and teaching and reaching is not limited to the church. If you're an evangelist, your ministry really is like Jesus' ministry. It is a pedestrian mentality. It is all that has to do with reaching folk where they are. And so many preachers, you know, God called me to preach. Well, where did he call you to preach at? What ministry did he give you to preach? Because, see, you've got to know when he calls you, he tells you what he wants you to do. I don't know. Well, he ain't called you. He was just getting your attention. He's just getting your attention. So let me just say this to you because I want you to see this. The evangelist is the one that God sends out and minister to folk. I mean, it may be somebody on the job, might be somebody at the bus stop, might be somebody in the mall, you know, might be somebody homeless, whatever. It's the evangelist's job to take that word and share that wherever, to whomever he has the opportunity to share it with, and other various things. I'm just touching on this, because to do justice to all of these positions, I'd have to teach you. That'll take some time, but I just want to introduce you to this and put this in order, because one again, things keep coming up, you know, about apostle. Apostle is also one who brings order to the church. Apostle is one backing up one. He's one that comes in and brings judgment in the church. That's why a prophet can come there and tell you what you've done wrong. Tell you that you better get your life together. Again, Jesus at the well with the woman at the well. Jesus said, give me a cup of water. She said, you know you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. We don't have no dealings with each other. How is it that you, a Jew, can ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a cup of water? Jesus said, if you only knew who I was, you'd give me that water, because I've got some water that's a living well that springs up on the inside of you. You won't ever thirst again. That woman said, give me that water so I won't have to come back to this well again. Look what Jesus said. Go call your husband. Now, she said what? I don't have no husband. Now look at what the prophet says. You're right. You've had five, and the one you shacking with right now ain't even yours. Oh, Jesus. What did the woman say? I perceive that thou art a prophet. Y'all we must have a whole lot of shackers up in here. Y'all done got quiet on me here. When the woman was caught in the adultery, act of adultery, brought before Jesus, threw down with a sheet wrapped around her. You know, again, Jesus was there to pronounce judgment. As a prophet, he had that right to do so. And, you know, Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. And, you know, some suggest that he wrote sins on the ground. And second time he stooped down, he wrote names on the ground. And before he could stoop down again, they started walking out because they thought he was going to connect the dots. Adultery, this one. Lying, this one, you know. So anyway, when he asked the woman, where are thine accusers? And she lifts herself up, looking around. I don't know, they all gone. So if they, listen, who accuse you and condemn you have gone, neither do I. Now, Jesus had the right to judge her, but what did he tell her? Go and sin no more. Here's what Jesus knew. She couldn't have been caught in adultery, and the man ain't brought to. If she was by herself, it's some other things, but it ain't adultery. So I'm just trying to help you to understand. Prophets have that ability to do all that. Evangelists, again, they like John the Baptist going around. But then pastors. But let me just sit back up again and share something else with you. So notice again, the thumb is what? The pointer finger is the third finger is the evangelist, which is the longest finger. The next finger to that is the pastor. All right, but it's also the pastor is the one that have the ring finger, that fourth finger. He's married to the church. His role and responsibility is to take care of that church. The first three, the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist, are all traveling gifts. Traveling gifts to the body of Christ. They move from place to place ministering to the body of Christ. They are here and they are there, et cetera, et cetera. But the pastor has a local flock that he is responsible for that is his place of service. And so his role and responsibility is to be the under-shepherd of Christ, to take care of the sheep. Listen, that the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists bring in, because when they're out on the road ministering and traveling here and there and getting folks saved, they need somewhere to go. And so the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist are connected with ministries in those, and they send them to those churches. You said you get folks saved out on the street. Now you're saved. What you going to do with them? You've got to have some place to send them so they can keep on growing and being nurtured. So there's got to be the church, and then there's got to be the pastor who oversees those sheep. He's supposed to continue in his preaching, because a lot of times people just come to the church that need help or want to find Christ, etc. He has to preach stirring sermons to sinners that make them realize that the place that they are in, God doesn't want them to be there. Then he has to encourage the souls of the saints. Because don't you know, saints get tired sometime. They get weary sometime. Sometime they get weak sometime. Sometime they want to fall away and fall off. And so you've got to have someone who has the ability to stir their souls. And then you've got to be able to have someone who can strengthen the saints, the believers. Because until you learn, look, shouting is good. Shouting is good. It's wonderful. You know, dancing and all of that is altogether good. But if you don't know nothing when you walk out of these doors, you are setting yourself up for defeat. The enemy is waiting on you. And when you come out of these doors, I mean, he's going to hit you. Listen, let me throw you out an illustration to help you understand. When Peter, James, and John went up with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah met Jesus, and he was transfigured brighter than the noonday light, Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let us build one tabernacle for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." God spoke to him and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Jesus didn't go up there for them to have their own private little worship service and fellowship away from the people. He was preparing for the cross that he was going to have to meet. He met with the great prophet of the earth and, listen, the great lawgiver of the earth. Moses was the lawgiver. Elijah was the prophet. He met with them about the cross. So when he was through meeting with him, or them rather, he was ready to come down. They're ready to start a building program to stay on top of the mountain. As soon as they came down, a man was there waiting with his son, who was a lunatic. And he said, "Listen, I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. I brought him to your disciples." That was an indictment against Jesus. They couldn't do nothing about it. Now, these were apostles. They had been anointed to go out and to heal, to deliver, to set free, all of that. And yet they couldn't do it. Jesus makes clear the reason, not because they had little faith or no faith. Guess what the problem was? Their unbelief. Let me throw this out for you. You can have faith, but if you don't believe that what you have faith in is going to happen, it cancels out the effect of your faith.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you, and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.